Pastor Leon and his wife Sheila founded Gospel Tabernacle Church in 1982 in the heart of Lawrence, South Carolina. Since then, the Lord has richly blessed and increased the ministry and family of Gospel Tabernacle Church. Here at Gospel Tabernacle, we believe in the power of the Word of God to change the hearts and lives of believers. Gospel Tabernacle is a family church ministering to the whole family through the charismatic teaching ministry. Today's message will grow your faith and draw you close to the Lord as you open your heart to God's Word and His Spirit.
You know what? You got an opportunity here in the next, 30, 40 minutes here for your life to be revolutionized, for it to be changed, for you to receive instruction from the Word of God, and for everything to turn around that's been going the wrong direction. If it's going the right direction, we're going to accelerate it, get it going a little bit faster. But anyway, we're going to do all that basically because we're getting into the Word of God this morning. So if you brought your Bible with you today, let's make our confession as we go before the Lord today. Everybody say, "This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, incorruptible, ever-living seed, the Word of God. I'll never be the same, never, 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 in Jesus' name, shout hallelujah." Oh, that sounds good. That sounds good. Let's head toward the book of Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, as they put our little overhead up on the screen today as it comes on. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45 is where I'm going to look at for our text today. So turn there with me, Luke 6 and verse 45. Well, let's see. I think they're probably moving toward the one there. It'll be there in just a moment. It's on its way. Luke 6 and verse 45 is where we're going to be. The Bible says, "A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is good. An evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." Break it down real carefully. A good man has good treasure in his heart. He has something on the inside. And from that good treasure in him, he will bring forth that which is good. An evil man has evil treasure in his heart. And from that evil that is in his heart, he will bring forth that which is evil. We see two results here, one of good and one of evil. They are both dependent upon what's in your heart. The scripture makes it very clear, Luke 6, verse 45, "For of the abundance," or the overflow, or of what your heart is filled with, "of that your mouth will speak." I'm only saying to you here today, I'm only speaking to you today, what I am filled with in my heart and in my life. That I put in is just simply overflowing. And because of that, my life will go in the direction of my overflow. My life will go in the direction of what I speak and what I say that is in my heart that is overflowing from me. It is not like that you take a passage of Scripture and you say, "I'm just going to look at this," and you get one verse of Scripture out of the Bible and you begin to say, "Well, that's God's Word. I'm believing for that, and I'm going to begin speaking that Scripture." Well, you do that. You do that. You begin right there, but it has to become abundant in your life, because what will happen is this: you will have the world around you begin to say no to the promises of God that you have in your life. The song we sang today, when we say yes, yes, yes about the promises of God, that's what the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, I believe it is, tells us all the promises of God are yes and amen. But the world doesn't say that. The world says that you have a book that was written by men. The world says that you have a book that's not true in the first place. The world says that God's not even real in the first place. And so you have that battle in your mind of what naturally the world is saying to you and what God is saying in the Word. So what has to happen is you have to have the abundance in your You have to continually have the word in your life. The Bible says that when God chose Abraham, he said, I know him. He will teach his children in the morning, in the midday, and at night when he rises up, when he goes up. He will teach them my statutes and my commands. And that's one reason that he chose Abraham, because he was going to be someone that was going to fill himself and his family with the word of God. That's what has to happen. When you do that in your life, it will change your life and your world around you to whatever degree that you have placed something in you. If you have only placed within you, and this is a great place to start, because the Bible teaches us if we believe in our heart, confess with our mouth, the Lord Jesus will be saved. And so thank God, I've done that. You've done that. How many have done that today? Somebody say amen. That's you then. So you have made a good confession of your faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, your life, and that's great. Now, but if that's all that you fill yourself with, and never, ever, ever think that God's also a healer of your physical body, and you don't fill yourself with scriptures of healing, then you're not going to see healing results. If you've only filled yourself with this thing called, I guess you want to say it, religious salvation or something like that, and maybe in not such a good way, but it's in that kind of area that you filled yourself with, you will never be a world overcomer, because you don't believe that you're an overcomer. You may think that you're in this world religiously living for God, and you maybe have a creed of conduct or something like that, but no real change has taken place in your life, and if you haven't allowed that to happen, and you're not walking in that arena of the scripture that fills you concerning the victories we have in Christ, you won't ever think you can be victorious. You'll continually walk around in life, and you'll begin to say what the world has told you to say. Well, the working man never gets anything. Working man never gets ahead. And that's what you'll say, because that's what's been in you, filled in your heart and life. And so what you have to do is go to the Word of God and see what God says about your circumstance and your situation. And the Bible says that there is wealth and there are riches in the house of the righteous. But the world says, working man never gets ahead. Nothing ever happens for him. The world goes on to say the only way that you get anything in life is to cheat somebody, lie and steal and all that stuff. And that's the way the world goes. And so you've got to renew your mind to the Word of God until you have an abundance in your life. And it's through that abundance, what you are most filled with, that is going to direct your life. Okay, that's our text, and we've looked at that, so I won't go into that anymore. We talked about the fact how that God himself used words to create the world. In Genesis chapter 1, we find it again and again, six times in that chapter, where God said, God said, God said, God said, and God said, and God said. And every time he said something, something happened. But notice, he did it through the power of his spoken word. The Bible tells the book of Hebrews that the worlds are held together. They are framed by the word of Almighty God, by his spoken word that he speaks. And so God operates this way. We saw that. We saw in scripture about Jesus and his use of words. And so much so that when he came, people heard him preach and teach and speak. They recognized he speaks with authority. He doesn't speak like everybody else we've heard. There's something different about his words. We learned, we saw the centurion came to him asking for healing for his servant. And he said, all you have to do is speak the word only. You don't have to do anything else. All you got to do is have a spoken word out of Jesus' mouth and my servant will be healed. And so Jesus lived that way too, that when he spoke, things happened. He cast out devils by his word. He cursed the fig tree by his word. Again and again and again, he uses words. And so let me ask you something. How many wants to follow Jesus? Somebody say amen. If he's our example, do you know how you're going to live your life in this world that we're in? You're going to live your life by your words. In other words, if I was, you know, God's formed and fashioned us and created us and made us in his image, and we're to operate and live like he does. I'm not God, you're not God, but we are in God's family. And God teaches us how we ought to live in our lives. And so what we do is we begin to speak like God speaks. We let our words be overcome by the words of God, and they become abundant in our life. And then we see our world begin to change. Let me give you an example. Let's say that you're in a relationship, husband and wife, and you've had a terrible relationship where you're just, you know, bitter toward each other and badgering each other and speaking bad about each other and you know, just warring and fighting all the time, that kind of thing in the life. And then all of a sudden, you have an awakening in your life. I need to be better to my spouse, to my wife, for example, in my case. I need to be better to my wife. I need to quit speaking all that stuff and start speaking something different. And now I start with a blessing. Do you know, if you've been speaking to your wife or husband, whichever the case may be, And that's the only two cases you got. But anyway, if you're doing that, what you're going to find is this. On that first attempt, they may not believe you're for real. How many can understand that? And so you're going to have to say it again and again and again. And even when you become under stress and duress, that you don't go back to the old way of life, but now you're speaking this newness that has been planted in you. And then finally, they begin to come around and say, you know what? You really have changed. Things really are different. And you can rebuild the structure and the relationship in your marriage by the words that you speak one toward another. It's the same way. Whenever you have the word of God, a promise from the Lord that God has given you, and you begin to plant that in your life, it's going to take just a little bit to take hold in your life, to bring forth in your life as you plant that new seed in your life, because you're planting it in a garden that's filled with weeds and everything else. You're going to have to let the weeds die out and go behind, you know, get done in the past. And then this future of this new seed that you're now planting will make a new reality for you. And so this is what happens when we talk about our words and how they work. The early church, we saw that they used words. They use words again and again. Peter, with his word on the day of Pentecost, again and again, he spoke the word of the Lord. Paul did the same thing. He would speak again and again. That's what they were doing. They did not have something. I saw something the other week, and I don't really get into all of this stuff. You know, I know the guy. I've known him a long time. But, you know, he says he's a prophet. And to be a prophet, he's got to carry this stick around with him somewhere. And the stick is about as high as he is. My dad had one of those. He twirls like that. He found in the woods like, nice stick. Nothing wrong with a stick. But having a stick don't make you a prophet. The gift of prophecy makes you a prophet. The calling of the Lord God on your heart and life makes you a prophet. And you can prophesy with a stick or without one. So what we do, though, in life sometimes is we'll go to what we can see. I can see the stick. I can feel the stick. I can look at this, you know, we go to what we can see and what we can touch, and we rely on those things. And when we try to operate that way with God, that is not the way that God operates. The Bible says that God is the Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth in John 4 and 24. That's where we have to be with Him. It is a spiritual reality. That's why that when you fast and you pray, and you seek the Lord through fasting, you don't take in physical food into your physical body. You cut off the physical man, and your spirit and soul becomes large and big in you, and you find out, hey, there's something on the inside of me. It's not all about my flesh. It's not all about my body. And you come into that reality of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And so when we look at the things of God, the word is like that. I don't have to go out and really do something physically to make things happen in my life. I simply believe, and you do too, believe the word of God, act on the word of God, do what it said do, speak the word of God into our life, confess the word of God, and we see the reality in our life. That's how it works. Now, so we've been talking about that, looking at it. Well, and we also begin to think about it like this. What about your life and my life today? How does this affect me right now in the here and now? I mean, you know, like the little child asked the preacher father one day and said, Dad, was you telling the truth today when you were preaching, or was you just preaching? But this is the truth. This is how the thing works. And how does it work in our lives? Well, we saw we are made in the image of God. Being made like Him, I need to operate like Him. And so if God brought things into existence through speaking the word, I need to speak the word that brings things into existence in my life. The Bible says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, Word was with God, Word was God. All things were created Him with, and without Him was not anything created that was created. And so that Word is the point of our initial creation in our life. We have to begin speaking that Word to see creative things happen in our life. Well, we looked at that a little bit. We saw that the salvation we've talked about when we confess with our mouth, believe in our heart, that's how we gained our salvation. We saw in Acts chapter 3, in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that how do we know they had the baptism of the Holy Spirit? For they heard, it says, Acts chapter 2, for they heard them speak with tongues. Words were flowing out of their mouth. We looked last time a little bit about the healing of our body and how we can speak healing into our body with our words. And so today I want to move us to a little bit more different direction. Go with me to Joshua chapter 8. Everybody turn there. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. The scripture that AJ said last week was my favorite. I guess I'll let him be true here because we're going to look at it again. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, words of God, words that you're speaking in your life. When God's word becomes your word and your abundance, here's the things that happen. When God's word becomes your word and your words become abundant, here's what happened. We bring those things forth, like the scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and that mouth speak good things, and we bring forth good things. Or we can speak evil things and bring forth evil things. It's our choice. You can do either one that you want to do. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, Joshua said it like this. In other words, Moses is, you know, he's leaving everything to Joshua. He's not going into the promised land. Moses is not. He's going to die before he gets there. And he does. He dies at 120 years of age. And so he tells Joshua, the general of the faith that's been with him all these years, you're going to take over. And now here's the encouragement that we get in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law, now for you and me, in the day we live, is called our Bible. The Word of God. It's not on the end of it. It's got right where Holy Bible right there. That is the Word of God. For us, we would say the Word of God. Or this book of the law shall not depart out of, somebody tell me where? Out of your mouth. Don't let it depart out of your mouth. So we're going to get the Word of God into our heart and our life, and we're going to stay on it. We're not letting go of the Word of God. Now, a lot of people will do this. They will pray and they will ask God to do something in their life. And when they do, if they do not see an immediate answer to their prayer, they will act like their prayer has not been answered. They will act like God's not going to do it. They will act like they're never going to receive what they ask from God, and they will not say it, and they will not speak it or say anything about it. I mean, people are like that sometimes. They'll say, I'm not going to say I've got something when I don't have it. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 53 and 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24, Matthew chapter 8 verse 16, 17, all those verses it talks about this. It says that by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we were healed. And so when I pray for a healing for my body, I'm going to pray as the scripture says to pray, or really just speak the word over our bodies. And I'm going to recognize that God healed me 2,000 years ago at the cross. And so what I'm going to say now, thank you, Lord God, I receive my healing in the name of Jesus, and I receive it now in Jesus' name. Now, once I say that, it don't matter whatever else feels this way or feels that way. It doesn't matter what I see. It doesn't matter what I experience. It doesn't matter. No, I'm going to be saying, if you ask me if I'm healed, I'll say I'm healed. I'm healed in Jesus' name. I am healed in Jesus' name. I am healed. That's going to be my confession of my faith. And over these years of living this kind of life, I mean, go back to pastoring the church 1982 and preaching in 1980 till now, so what's that, 43 years? Over these years, this is how that this has worked consistently in my life. Most Christians think this. Most Christians think they're going to pray and ask God to do something, and the heavens are going to open up, a bolt of lightning is going to come down. Out of that lightning will come an angel. That angel will walk over you, put his hand on you, and bam, all of a sudden you're just healed all over the place. That's what most Christians think. But that is not the reality of how this thing works. We are living by faith, the Bible says. The just shall live by his faith. Everybody say, the just shall live by his faith. We live by faith. We're not moved by what we see. We're moved only by the word of Almighty God. And we live by our faith. Now, so when we receive healing, what we do is we stay on the word of God. We stay there. We're not moving off of the word of God. That's our testimony. That's our belief. That's where we stand. And as you do that, and you build up an abundance of the Word of God in your life, you see the reality of that in your life. You see it take place in your life. I mean, think about it. I mean, not just me, but a lot of folks, you know, different things. I mean, over the years, I faced different things I had to face and overcome, that kind of stuff. But here I am, you know, 43 years in the ministry now, and every one of you, just about, I would say to you, you see me every single Sunday. Every single Sunday. Now, what's that mean? I've had enough health to be here every single Sunday, right? I mean, so this is not something that I'm looking at and reading somebody's book. This is something that actually works. And this is the way it works. It works when you stand on the Word of God, believe the Word of God, practice the Word of God, speak it in your heart and life, and you'll see things happen in your life. It's just that simple. And so what we do, we don't let the Word of God out of our mouth. But some people say, I can't say anything. Oh, really? You can't say anything. Unless I got it, I'm not going to say I got it. That'd be a lie, people say. I'm not going to say I got it if I don't have it. Well, you know, I'd be lying. Let me ask you, how many in the house, you got a puppy dog? Anybody got a doggy? How about a cat? You got some of them critters, too? I'm not sure they don't. But anyway, rest of them got a cat or dog? And how do you call that dog? You go out, and you go out to, you know, the front porch. Our dog has recently gone on to his reward about 3 months ago, and we're looking at getting us another one. We had an old English sheepdog all these years, and so the house is a little bit lonely without him there to greet us when we come home. And so we're looking at getting us something else. She's wanting something I call a sheep-a-doodle. It's like an old English sheepdog, except it's that small. And $3,000. But anyway, it's a sheep-a-doodle. So he was looking at something like that. And that kind of thing. But you know what? When you go outside and you call the dog, you know what you say? Here, Spot. Here, Spot. How much you ever done that? Whatever your dog's name is. Here. He's not here. That's why you're calling him. He's there. But you're saying, here, Spot. Here, Spot. Why are you saying he's here, Spot, and here, Spot's not here? He's there. I thought you didn't say anything unless you said you had it. I mean, what about working? And you work for an entire week, and you get to the end of the work week, and they're supposed to pay you. And you're expecting your pay, aren't you? In fact, some of us expect it so much, we've already spent it before we get it, right? I mean, you were really counting on that pay. Why don't we put at least that kind of faith in God's Word? Why can't I just say, healing is mine in Jesus' name? It, just like I say, here's Spot. Spot's not here, but he's going to be here if I keep calling him. I'm calling. What do we do to in the house? We go to our thermostat, and we set our thermostat to where we want it to be. We set the thermostat to call for a certain temperature. We tell the thermostat to do that. Well, what if it's going to be a little bit warmer today? What if it's 85 or 87, 89 degrees today? And you go home, and I say, what temperature is it? You say, 89 degrees. And I say, what have you got your thermostat set on? You say, 89 degrees. Why do you have it set on 89? Why don't you set it to call for 70? Because I don't have 70 yet. I still have 89 degrees. Well, you'll never get down to 70 until you set that thermostat down to 70 to call for it. That's what you're doing with the Word of God. You're calling the reality of the promises of God into your life. That's where it's at. And so all of us have to learn that we speak the Word of God and we keep it in our mouth. Notice what he said. The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Don't let it go out of your mouth. Keep the Word of God there. But notice it. You meditate therein day and night. Meditate day and night. If you just dropped in this morning on Sunday morning, we're so happy you're part of the service today. But you know what? If you're going to leave today and you're not going to have anything to do with the Word of God the rest of the week, not going to have anything to do with God in your life the rest of the week, if you're leaving this world, this church right here today, going into a worldly environment and going to live just like this church service today, not going to do you much good. Just not. Notice, you meditate the Word of God day and night. Day and night. Do it. Do it day and night before you need to do it day and night. I've seen some people hit some struggles and problems in their life, and they had planted so many bad seed in their life. I mean, they were in such a mess in every way in their life. All of a sudden, they determined they needed some kind of miracle from God, and wow, then you saw them getting into something day and night, and by that time, they had destroyed almost everything that they could destroy in their life, and they didn't see results. And so don't wait. Don't wait till you're driving down the road, you know, and you get in the road and you're driving, 70 miles an hour down the interstate. Don't wait till you get there and you need to stop and look down and say, do I have any brakes in this car? You should have been checking your brakes when you first got in the car. And if you didn't have brakes, you shouldn't have got on the interstate highway. Somebody say amen. Same thing with the Word of God. Same thing. Be real with this stuff. Be honest with this stuff. This thing works just like God says it works. It will do exactly like God says it will do. But the thing is, you and I have to follow the rules and do what it says. Notice he said, meditate therein day and night. Then what happens once you meditate? Remember, the book of the law is in your mouth. And then you meditate there and night. Then what happens? Well, that you may observe to do something. Because it's all based on what you're about to do. You're going to do something. That you may observe to do according to all that's written. It's the action that's going to take place. Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8 tells us that whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. There's got to be some sowing in order to be some reaping. You don't get reaping unless you have some sowing. And so there has to be an action that takes place in your life. James chapter 1 talks about the same thing. You might walk up and look at yourself and you walk away and forgot what you looked at and do nothing about what you looked at, you don't have any change in your life. And so he tells us here that we observe to do. There's got to be that action. You're backing up from the do to the meditate, from the meditate, the words in your mouth. That's what has got us so far. Look what he says therein. For then, the then is after the words in your mouth, after you meditate day and night, after you do it. You see that? I mean, if I made anything up, stand up and throw dirt in the air and, you know, holler Ichabod. But I haven't done that. That's exactly the lineage that it sets forth. Words in your mouth, meditate it, do it. Words in your mouth, meditate it, and do it. Words in your mouth, meditate it, do it. Mouth, meditate, do. Mouth, meditate, do. What happens from mouth, meditate, do? For then, after that, you will have, make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. You're the one that makes your way prosperous. Under the grace of God, of course. But you're the one that makes your way prosperous. You're the one that makes you have good success. When? Whenever you did the word of God. When? Whenever you meditated the word of God. When? Whenever it was in your mouth. And so it bats it all up right to there. And so what do you put in your mouth? What do you put in your mouth? Let me give you a verse of scripture. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say with me, thanks be to God, which gives me the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Say, therefore, I have the victory. We sing the song, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever, right? We sing this morning, standing on the promises of God. I told AJ this morning, that's probably the most biblical song I've ever heard in my life. Read the lyrics to Standing on the Promises of God. I mean, it is strong faith. It is strong in there. Well, that's what we begin to say. So when people talk about whatever you're doing in life, what you're having in life, you're going to have good success. I'm going to make my way prosperous. I'm going to have good success. So now what am I doing? I'm saying that now with my mouth. Is this thing going to work? I developed this many years ago. Is this thing going to work we're in? Is this project going to work? Is it going to happen? Is it going to take place? Is it going to do good? Is it? Well, why not say, well, if I'm in it, it's going to. If I'm in it, is because the Bible tells me here that thanks be to God that he gives me the victory. He didn't give me the loss. He didn't give me the defeat. He gave me the victory. And so I have the victory. Somebody say, I have the victory. Now, you know, that'll bring a smile on your face. That'll make you happy, make you joyful. You know, I'm a winner. I'm a winner. I'm not a loser. Quentin Mills sung a song many years ago. Come on over to the winning side. If you've been tired of life beating you down, then come on over to the winning side. And that's the side that we're on because we have the victory in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Notice this. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. Boy, that will choke a dead horse, won't it? It will always cause us to triumph in Christ, make manifest of the Savior, his knowledge in us in every place. He always causes us to triumph in Christ. But what do we hear in the world? What's that word you got to eradicate that's in the world? Well, you know, Pastor, oh, that sounds nice what you're saying, but you win some and you lose some. How many's ever heard that in the world? Big saying it. That's what they say. If you want to live by that, you can. You can win some and lose some. I just hope the ones you lose are not life-threatening because they're out there too. But if that's the way you can. Or you can say, wait a minute, what does the Bible say? What's the word that's going to be in my mouth? Christ Jesus always causes me to triumph. He always causes me to win. I have the victory in him. That's me. I'm living in this realm of victory and this realm of triumph in our lives. That's what you speak. You don't have to go out there and speak, well, I don't see how I'm going to make it. People say, like, I'm going to make it. I remember many years ago, Fred Sanford did a thing on Sanford and Son, and he got this great expression, and he goes, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. And you can have that life if you want. I'm not going to make it. It's not going to happen for me. I can't do it. I don't see how because I'm looking through my eyes. I can't see how I'm not going to make it. It won't happen. You know, defeat, failure, gloom, agony on me, deep, dark depression, you know, all that kind of stuff they talk about. You can live there if you want to. Or you can come on over to the winning side and you can say, in Christ Jesus, he always causes me to triumph. He always causes me to win. Everybody say, Jesus always causes me to triumph. Woo, I'm not a loser, I'm a winner. I'm a winner, not a loser, in Jesus' name. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. When we founded the church in October 13th of 1982, and prior to that, Christian people, because I wasn't going to ask the sinners what they thought. I knew what they thought. But some of the church folks around, and brother, sister, and Lord, you know, most all of them told me that, you know, you're going to fail, boy. You can't do what it is you're wanting to do. Said, how are you going to do it? I said, well, you know, I'm believing the Lord's going to help me because the Lord called me to do it. And if he called me to do it, I believe I can do it. They said, how are you going to pay for it? I said, I don't have to. It ain't mine. I said, I guess God's going to pay for it because it's his. And he don't know anybody anything, so, you know, it's his. I went to seminary a little bit later on. I'm so glad I got established in the faith before I went to seminary. I am. I went to seminary to make the devil mad, really. But anyway, I went to seminary. I begin hearing all these people talk about, you know, the faith message and that kind of stuff. And they bad, well, you just don't have a theological education. Well, I do now. And I'm still teaching the same faith message that I was teaching before. I didn't let that theological education drive it out of me. No. I got some good things in seminary. I really did. And some other things I had to let go on along the side. But when I got to seminary, they would all ask me, you know, different things. They'd say, well, you know, how does your church make it? How does it go? Where's your headquarters? I said, in heaven. They said, where do you get your money from? I said, God. They said, yeah, but where do you get it really? God. I mean, really, 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 how do you get it? God. That's really, really it. And so you have a religious world that don't agree with that. You have the world out there that don't. In fact, some folks in the world might try to encourage you a little bit more than some doubtful Christians do. I mean, I hate saying it like that, but some do. We founded a church. We had some folks show up. Some of them I still don't know their name to the day that came to help us do some things. I had three alcoholics help me lay linoleum in the floor of the church when we first started. Three alcoholics. I mean, you know, God will send people your way. You just got to keep them sobered up. Somebody say amen. Make that linoleum straight, you know, whatever. We did. He said, and God always provided. He said, well, how did he provide? I bought them all lunch. Went to the Bantam shelf in Lawrence and bought a dozen hot dogs. You won't believe it, for $1. He said, that's a long time ago, Pastor. Yeah, it is. You need a lot more dollars than that. Nowadays, the Bantam Chef's gone, so good wipers are going to cost you a little bit more than that today. But it's a good one anyway. It's a good one. And so begin speaking that. I'm going to win. I'm going to overcome. He always causes me to triumph. I have the victory in Christ Jesus. I'm a winner. I'm not a loser. Begin speaking that into your life. Say it. So what's God going to do? Think about God in heaven. And the Bible tells us also in the book of Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, 4, verse 1. He tells us that he is the high priest of our profession. Jesus sitting by the right hand of God the Father in heaven now, since he has ascended up on high, coming back pretty soon. He may be stepping off the throne right now, almost here. The way this world looks to me today, I don't see too many days left on this old world. I told Sheila last week, I've heard a lot of preachers preach over the years about the second coming of the Lord or the rapture of the church, two different events. I've heard them talk about that, and they'll talk about the time of the seasons and everything going on, and sometimes I'd hear them saying, yeah, that's a little bit of a stretch, where are you going right there, you know, to bring that in. But they would do it because they would, you know, that message they felt like was good, and it's a good message, preach on the second coming, absolutely, in the rapture, good message. But they were out there. But now, I told Sheila, now I don't know how you could exaggerate any more of a messed up world than the one we got right now. This world is messed up, and I, you know, if Jesus waits another 5 minutes, I'm going to be surprised. Because it looked like to me he'd be here any second now. Because this thing ain't nothing going to fix this old world of ours but Jesus Christ. Ain't nothing going to fix this place. We're going to do our best. We're going to vote righteously. We're going to do the things we ought to do, naturally. But that aside, ain't nothing going to help this place but Jesus. This world needs absolute revival in it. It needs revival drastically in the world we live in. Well, but in the midst of this, you and I can still live in victories and successes in our life. We live in our Goshen, just like the children of Israel. during the 10 plagues, they're in Goshen. The plagues don't hit them like it hits everybody else because they're under the blood. And the same thing is true for us. We can live in this world that we are in and yet see the victory. In fact, look at Psalm chapter 1 before I move on here. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man. Well, that's me. When I read that, to me it just said, blessed is Leon. That's what it said. But blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. In fact, several years ago, I bought a Bible that it says, blessed is Leon. They printed the thing for me and inserted my name in every promise of the Bible. When it made a promise, it's got my name. So I can read it with my name. But anyway, blessed is the man, or Leon, or your name, that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, as you keep walking like the world tells you to walk, you don't get the rest of it. You just stop right there, hang up your hat, it's over. Take whatever crumbs the world is willing to deal out to you. If you want to live off of crumbs, then they got plenty they'll give you that they got from us, other people. But anyway, they'll do it. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not stand in the path or the way of sinners. He's not going. The path of the sinners is that easy way to walk. In other words, in this church, I can get to the back. If I want to, in the church I grew up in, I remember one time I was sitting here on the second pew, and a guy, the Spirit of the Lord hit him, so to speak, and he walked on the back of the benches all the way to the back. That's one way to get to the back. He got back all the way to the back, on top of them benches. He did. That's one way to get there. There's another way, though, and that's down the aisle. His aisle is made to go that way. And so the Bible tells us here, the man that's blessed is the man that does not stand in the way of sinners. The way of sinners is a path that sinners have made that it's easy to go down. How many has found out it ain't hard to lie? It's not hard to do wrong. I mean, they even said, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to do right. Right? I mean, they make it easy to do wrong. It's not hard to do the wrong. There's a path of wrongness. And if you don't want to go down the same path everybody else is going in, you got to get out of that path. If you want to be blessed, because blessed is a man that doesn't stand in that path. He's not in that path. He's not going down the easy route. He's going down the road that the Lord's prepared for him, which becomes easy in Christ. But nor does he sit in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law, he meditates day and night. He's mulling over the word of God in his heart and his spirit day and night, meditating it, thinking about it, pondering it. The Old Testament Hebrew word for meditate is to mutter, speak out loud, just, you know, really just speaking. That's me, yeah. Somebody said, I didn't hear you. Well, you didn't have to because I was talking to me. That's me. That's the word of God. That's me right there. You're muttering, you're meditating the word of God day and night. Now notice what it says, verse 3. He'll be like a tree planted by rivers of waters that bring forth fruit in the season. His leaf will not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I mean, people get mad sometimes. Well, you know, you can't just win on everything. If you do it God's way, you can. Have you ever lost in life, Pastor? Yes, I have. But every one of my losses, I can track down to where Leon figured out how to do it. And where Leon went his own way. I've never lost following Jesus. Never lost following him. Never lost doing it God's way. My way, yes. The world's way, yes. God's way, no. What happens God's way? Whatsoever he does will prosper. This thing will work. Whatever he does will prosper. Somebody said, well, wait a minute now. You mean to tell me that if I go to Alaska and I open up an icy stand, I'm going to make lots of money? No, you're not. Because you didn't meditate all the word of God. Yeah, I did too, because you just said whatever I do, it prosper. There's some more word of God that goes with that, which says in the multitude of counselors there's safety. And so you should have consulted people about how icy sail in Alaska. Somebody say amen. So don't just go nuts with things. Don't just go crazy. Let the whole counsel of God, the whole word of God, be part of who you are that you meditate on. All right, look with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. 1 John 2, verse 14. Another thing. You know what? If you're a Christian, you're a child of God, you don't need to be saying, the devil's after me. Or you don't need to be saying, the devil's really been after me this week. Or the devil's really been... You know what happens when you say that? If you say, the devil's really been after me this week, Pastor, the devil's really... You know what you're doing? You're exalting the devil. You're lifting up the devil. You're leading a praise chorus for the devil. You know what you're also doing? You're showing doubt and unbelief in your Lord and your God. doubt and unbelief. What if someone asked my wife, Sheila, also known as my girlfriend, but what if somebody asked her, are you guys going to be able to, you know, eat this week? Or are you going to be able to do things you need to do financially? What if she said, well, I don't know. Things really are tough. I don't know. She has never said that all of her life. Because what she has said all of her life is Leon. Because Leon told her daddy, when I married her, I told him I would take her and I would provide for her. I'd give her a place to live, food to eat, clothes to wear for the rest of her life. I told her daddy that. That's what I'll do. She took that seriously. And then I've never heard, even when we didn't used to have so much money as we have today, but I never heard her say, I don't know how we're going to do this or how we're going to do that. I mean, you know, I ask her sometimes, Sheila, you going to go do something? Yeah, what you going to do? You going to go buy this, that? Yeah. Have you thought about it? No, just going to go buy it. And I said, well, you know, have you looked to see if you got any money? She said, I don't have to. I said, why not? She said, because you got some. Remember, it's 50-50, right? 50 of it's hers, my 50 is hers too. But it's all like that. So what is this? She put her faith and confidence in her husband. Now, of course, both of us under God. Both of us under God, okay? But she put her faith and confidence in God. But now what happens is this. If you are exalting the devil, what happened to your faith and confidence in God? You really think God is going to let the devil just whoop up on you? Only if you let him. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. You've got that authority in your life. And if you want to let the devil steamroll you, you can do it. And he'll be glad to take you up on it and just destroy your life. If that's what you want, you can do that. But on the other hand, you can depend upon your Lord and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Put your faith in the Lord God Almighty. Begin to speak his words in your life and expect fully to defeat the devil every opportunity that the devil comes against you. You can win. The devil ain't that bad after all. Well, he's bad. He's evil. I'm talking the bad Michael Jackson style. He's not that evil. You know. Understand that language of being bad's good. But anyway, you know, whatever. 1 John 2:14. I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him. That's from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you've overcome the wicked one. Back it up like I'm known to do. You've overcome the wicked one. How? The word of God abides in you. Get the word of God abiding into your life. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. You'll ask what you will, and it shall be done in you. So the power of filling yourself with the word of God and filling yourself to an abundance, and the devil attacks you, it's really not like an attack at all because you have the victory in Christ Jesus. You know how this thing's going to end, and you know how you're going to win over this thing. It's going to happen for you because you're abiding and living in the Word of God. Now, if you divorce yourself from the Word of God, and if you don't allow the Word of God to take root in your life, to be in abundance in your life, now you'll just be just like the rest of the world. You know, you'll win a few, lose a few, and the devil happens to work on somebody else that day and not you, you'll have a better day. But when he comes against you with everything he's got, then you lose and you fail. No, you don't have to do that. You don't have to live life that way. You can live it on the victory side of Calvary. How many knows? In the same book, 1 John chapter 2, and in 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Everybody say, I have the greater one on the inside of me. The greater one's on the inside of me. It's like people talk about, how you know you're going to win? I got inside information. The greater one's on the inside of me. I know. That's another song here. But I know that I'm going to win. I know, because the greater, to defeat you, the child of God, then the devil would have to defeat Jesus. He's already lost against him 2,000 years ago. The Bible says also in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, that the Lord made an open show of him. He showed it before the world. Jesus is greater than the devil. He overcame him when he rose from the dead. And that Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is our God. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. And so the greater one's on the inside, and you don't have to lose to the devil. You don't have to be afraid of the devil. Somebody said, don't give a big testimony, because you do, the devil will hear you, and then he'll come, and when he comes, he'll try to test you and tempt you, and just don't make him mad. The devil's already mad. He's also sad, too. He's also depressed. discouraged. He's also, you know, he's just down and out. Imagine that. You know, he's down and out, isn't he? I mean, he's at that place where he's at. He knows his time is short. He's pulling out all the stops. He's sending every devil, fallen angel, demonic spirit he can into planet Earth right now with one last great hurrah that he thinks he's going to defeat the armies of God and the armies of Christ, but he's not. He's not going to win. He's a loser. He was a liar from the beginning. He's the father of lies. He's the father of losing, and he's going to lose this thing. And in Jesus' name, you and I have our victory. Amen? We do. We do. Well, why don't you recognize that? Somebody said, you scared the devil's going to come after you today? No, not really. Now, if I was by myself, I would be, sure. But I'm not by myself. The greater one's on the inside. The Lord Jesus is with us. He's given us the armor of the Lord, and we can fight our battles. Every single battle we can fight, like the song that we sing, we can fight our battles. Jesus is there for us, with us. Sometimes he says, Leon, do this, do that. Sometimes he says, Leon, you just be still. You just be still. Don't even say anything. You just keep your mouth shut and stay still right here. I'll take care of this one. This is a done deal. And you can see God turn things around in your life. But that's when you're living on the Word of God and just filling yourself with the Word of God. 1 John 5:18 says this, we know that whosoever is born of God doesn't practice sin, but he is begotten of God. He keeps himself, and the wicked one touches him not. The devil doesn't even get close. You shouldn't be running around saying, well, the devil almost got me this week. No, you should be saying, the devil didn't come within a million miles of getting me this week. In fact, I've been looking for him. Has anybody seen him? Have you seen him? You know, well, that kind of thing. Where's he at, you know? I mean, no, he's not around. He doesn't want to be around the child of God. Now, if you're a child of God, you're in doubt and unbelief and fear and failure, and you got that evil mouth and all this kind of stuff going on in your life, I don't really hate to be a child of God like that, but if that's what you're doing, the devil doesn't mind being around you. But if you're worshiping, you're praising, you're loving God, you're loving Jesus, I mean, you know what? You say, well, I went to pray and the devil showed up. Well, good. Say, devil, I hope you enjoy this next hour because it's going to be a good one. I'm about to pray to our Lord and Savior. You know that guy that defeated you 2,000 years ago on Calvary? It's him. And his presence is filling this room where I'm at. Devil, you know, I don't think you can stand it much longer. And the devil, you just have to go. What does the Bible say? You know the scripture, James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will do what? Run from you. Done. Now, isn't these verses of Scripture a lot different than what the world tells you? Aren't they a lot different than what some churches tell you? They really are, and I'm not trying to criticize anyone, but I'm talking about religion, not the true Church of Christ, but religion. What religion says, they don't get you right there. They get you, you know, live on what, barely get along avenue, down on Grumble Street, whatever it is, that's where you live, down and out village that you live in, and they got you there, the way is hard, the thing is tough, I don't know how we're going to make it. I mean, I don't know what we're going to do, and oh, Lord, help us, and woe is me, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. All this kind of stuff that you have in their lives. And you don't have to have it because you can defeat the devil. I mean, you know what? Whatever it might be in your life, if you got some habits that's come against you, wherever it might be, I don't know, whether it might be like pornography or it might be something like, you know, something you're drinking or something you're shooting or something that you're taking or those kind of addictions of people, you can defeat every one of them. It is not hard. It is not hard at all. Many times I've counseled with people over the years, and they'll come in, and they want to tell the story. I said, now listen, you can tell your story, and I'm going to tell you the answer when you get done, okay? And so they'll tell the story about how bad it was and all that, and everything. And I'll say, yeah, okay, I heard all that. Sorry for you. We give you our pity, our sympathy, and, you know, wish that you were in a better state of life, but you're not. And so here, all right, now here's your answer. Here's what you can do. And I'll take them to the Word. And then I'll hear people say this. Yeah, but you don't know how bad it is. Okay, go ahead and tell me how bad it is. They tell me how bad it is again. They get through, tell me how bad it is the second time. I'll say, okay, here's your answer. We're going to the Word of God, and this is what God will do for you, and this is what the Word says about your situation. Yeah, but I'm really in this thing deep. Okay, tell me how deep you're in it. And they'll tell me again how deep they're in it, and they'll go through all. It doesn't matter. The same answer at the beginning is the same answer at the end. Jesus Christ, the righteous, is our victory. And if we will let him do the victory in our life, he will do it. And you don't have to be bound by any addiction. You don't have to be bound by anything this world has against you. That many years ago, people talked about different things like drinking, alcohol, and asked you, you know, want to drink. And I grew up, I wasn't a Christian until I was 20 years of age. And so I went to nightclubs. I saw all these people get drunk and all this stuff. And it was terrible to watch the crazy things people do when they got drunk and said they were having fun. And the next day didn't know what kind of fun they had. But anyway, All that junk is a bicycle, they used to say. But anyway, all that's going on, and people, in my mind, I always felt like this, that if I have to go to a bottle to make me happy, then something's missing inside me. Why do I have to have that crutch to make me happy? Why do I have to have that? And I don't. And you don't either. I don't need a pill to get up in the morning and one to go to bed at night. The Bible says that God gives his beloved rest and sleep at night. You can go to sleep at night and just, bam, as soon as you hit the pillows, you can go to sleep. I mean, you can do it. It's not a hard thing when you're walking in the things of God. And anything out there in my life that is an extra or an add-on that I'm looking for to make me happy or to give me joy or to give me peace, Isaiah 26:3 says he will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on the Lord. And so we keep our mind stayed on the Lord, and we don't need anything else. We got peace already. They said, well, haven't you heard that, you know, Russia had some internal turmoil over the last couple of days and, you know, killed a few people and this and that and the other inside of Russia, and some of their own troops turned against them and they turned them back. And does that not give you upset? No. Not upset about that at all. I'm not upset about some of the wild, crazy junk that's going on in America. Now, I don't like it, but I hadn't lost a moment of sleep over it, because this world is not my home. This world is not your home. How many know we got another home and this ain't it? Somebody say amen. And you can have peace in your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so what do? We defeat the devil by the word of God. But if the devil comes against you, notice it, resist the devil, he will flee from you. How does that resistance take place? Draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to him. He'll come close to you. It says, cleanse your hands, sinners. Purify your hearts. You're double-minded. Don't ever get double-minded and think, well, this might work and it might not. No. God's word always works. Every promise that God has given us is always true. It always comes to pass just like God said that it would. God is not a man that he should lie. If there's any lying taking place, it sure ain't on God's side. If there's any lying taking place, it's out in the world. And I'll even say this to me. If there's some difference, Leon, between you and God, Leon, you're the one lying. Leon, you're the one's wrong. I heard a psychologist tell me this one. Well, you can just go to heap on, you know, condemnation on yourself. Not condemnation, conviction. Condemnation says you're wrong, you're bad, ain't nothing you can do about it. You're condemned. Conviction says you're wrong, you're bad, and you can change and let Jesus do something in your life. Conviction's good, condemnation's bad. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, Romans 8:1. So you know, we live that kind of life. That's where you need to be. When the devil comes against you and he attacks you, then you need to attack him harder than he is attacking you. Come against him with everything you have, all your spiritual arsenal that you have. And that main thing you've got is the words coming out your mouth. I'm going to win. I made a video. I looked at it the other day when I broke my arm several years ago and other things. On that ladder, 60-foot ladder up in there, AJ and I up there, he's on the ladder beside of me. I'm on one a little higher at the top. I feel like it needs to be adjusted to go over 6 inches. I pop it off the building, let it go over 6 inches, and it's stationary. It was fine, but it was raining, it was wet, and the bottom slid out from me, and I go down, and I hit asphalt 16 feet down. When I hit the asphalt 16 feet down, I have 18 different injuries on my body from my head to my toe. Most of what y'all saw is not everything, but that was the arm part. That was part of it. I go to the doctor, talk to him. He said, okay, here's going to be your issues. You know, it's probably never going to heal right. Probably not going to do this. We're going to do the best we can, but not looking for this, and just need to prepare you for that up front. I said, well, you know, you just do what you're supposed to do. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, and I believe God will do what he's supposed to do. He said, yeah, okay. And so anyway, he did what he was supposed to do. I did what I was supposed to do, and he put in, repaired this bone that crushed in my elbow and that kind of thing. Repaired that, got that fixed, and when he did, I mean, my arm was, you know, it wouldn't move. He had it in a cast up here, and it just wouldn't, it, you know, that was it. It wouldn't go. Pushing, it wouldn't go down. Wouldn't go down. So what did I do? You saw some things I did. I mean, I was playing guitar at church, bass, and I can't play bass like this with one hand. So bought me a keyboard, plugged in the bass on it, and started playing bass on it. If you know one thing about keyboard, on the left-hand side is your bass notes, and your treble notes are on your right-hand side. So I didn't have a left hand to play bass with, so I had to reconvert that in my mind and change my right hand to playing backwards on the bass keys on the left. to come out with that bass sound that we did for about 6 weeks while I was, you know, getting that thing. So what am I doing during that time? I'm believing God. Lord God, I know what the doctor said. I love the doctor. Thank God for him. He was there when I needed him. Absolutely. Everyone of them. I mean, the rescue squad people picked me up off the floor and everything. All of them, you know, I had a great time with all of them, and I thank the Lord for them and use them to their abilities. Thank God for that. But beyond what all of them can do, God can do more. And so I'm believing God in the name of Jesus. Arms, you're going to work just like the other, and you're going to work like the other. You're not going to have any difficulties. You're not going to have any problems. So we come in about 4 or 5 weeks right after the surgery, and we go into the doctor, and I said, listen, you know, I've heard people talk about physical therapy. Are we going to have any physical therapy on this arm? He said, no, you're not. I said, why not? He said, you don't need any. He said, you've already got everything that physical therapy would give you. You're already at that point, and 4 weeks afterwards, you're already at that point. How did I get there? In Jesus' name, arm, you'll straighten out in the name of the Lord. You'll straighten out in Jesus' name. And that right there is what I give credit to. Thank God for the doctor. I give him his credit that's due to him as well. But I give credit to believing God, believing his word. And so this thing works right in the midst of your struggle and your problem. It works right as part of what is going on in your life. Don't think it's just for the good times. It's for when those difficult tragedies and hardships hit you, that crisis of life. More than ever, you need to be in the Word of God then. Rush to the Word. Rush to what God has said about you. Don't give in to what the world wants you to say about yourself. Don't give in to what the devil wants you to say about yourself. Keep on speaking the Word of God about yourself. Somebody say amen. Stand with me this morning. Let's go before the Lord in a confession of our faith as we dismiss our service today. Stretch your hands toward the heaven. If there's things in your life that are not right with God, you need to get them right, and you need to make sure that the Lord is Lord of your life. And so I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and we're going to go from this prayer into a confession of our faith. Whatever areas of your life that you need to receive in, let this be your time that you receive. Come on, everybody in the building, if you would, just stretch your hands up or one hand, whatever you feel comfortable doing. Stretch it. Let's pray this prayer. Say, Dear Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you sent Jesus to pay for all of my sin. And so, Lord God, I confess all of my sin unto you, and I receive you, Jesus, as Lord of my life. I will live for you all the days of my life from this day forward. That is my belief. That is my confession. That is my actions this day. And so, in Jesus' name, Lord God, I believe your word over my life, over my mind. I have the peaceful mind. I have the joy of the Lord in my heart and in my spirit. My body is whole in the name of Jesus. I have healing in my body. My bills are paid in the name of Jesus. I have finances in my life. In fact, my cup runs over. I thank you, Father. You supply all of my needs. So in the name of Jesus, Lord God, you are my victory. You are my Lord. The devil is defeated. And I give you the praise that I walk with the joy of the Lord in my life and thankful for all that you've done. In the wonderful name of Almighty God, the Lord Jesus himself. And I say hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Live it out. Live it out. Work it out in your life. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this faith-filled message. Please connect with us at our website, gospeltabernaclechurch.com, so we can continue to be a part of your faith walk. And if you're listening today and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, now is the time to do that. Now, today, is the day of salvation. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Father, I believe you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins on the cross, and you have raised him from the dead that I might be alive in him. Jesus, I confess you are Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome. You're now in the family of God. You're a child of God. Connect with us. Let us know if you prayed that prayer. We want to be right there alongside you as you walk out this journey of faith in Christ. God bless you.